Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday Morning Show, where ASI's most outspoken editors talk promo products. I'm Andy Cohen, editor of Counselor Magazine, and we have a great show planned for you today. Was that Joe Haley already talking on the mic over me as we began the show?
I said, hey, Andy.
How are you, Joe?
I'm terrific, Andy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Ready for a big Tuesday morning show here, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Michelle Bell is with us. Michelle, how are you this morning?
I'm great.
That's it? Just great?
Just great.
Just dandy?
Just super.
All right. We're also joined by marketing guru Colin Graf. Colin, is this your first time on this radio show?
This is. This is. Thanks for having me.
Wow. You have to sing the ASI radio anthem.
A radio show rookie.
Do I have to go through any kind of hazing?
You have to do a dance towards the end. So everybody okay. Stay tuned for that. We also have Craig Veltri manning the tech board and Facebook Vinny Driscoll getting ready to take your calls. Today we're taking your calls regarding how to get more visitors to your website. So give us a ring at 215-953-4979 if you want any tips on how to get more traffic to your website. We are here to help. Again, give us a ring at 215-953-4979. Joe, tell us what else is on the show today.
Well, Andy, first-timer Colin is going to tell us some key mobile marketing trends, and he came here with a copious, is that right, copious
He's
amount of
got
notes?
Mad notes.
Somebody that's, clicked on WikiWords this morning.
That's a big word.
For you, Joe.
Notes, which is shocking. The rest of us have papers, but not much in the way of notes.
I'm an overachiever.
I have a look at marketing's highest spenders. It's an interesting list, and we're going to delve into that and see why they spend and why that'll help our distributors out there. Right. Why social listening is crucial for your business. We talk about social media all the time, social marketing and all that. Michelle has a look at why social listening is important. Easy fixes for your customer relations that turn sour?
Salad?
Sour. A sour salad. Colin, our marketing guru, he has that title today.
He's got notes on that, too.
He has a lot of notes on that, too.
I do. A couple pages.
Here you go. Tips for striking it rich from a real housewife brought to us by
by a real housewife.
The furthest thing from a housewife. Michelle's going to have a look there. Hey, Bernie Madoff's back in the news, and we're going to tell you why and what's going on with his pants. We have some other things. A look at our favorite things. Is cursing okay at work? Michelle Pottymouth will let us know if that's
yeah.
okay. And
absolutely.
If we have time, I'd like to get something off my chest, but we will start it all off with the industry news in 60 seconds. Andy.
All right. Thank you, Joe. We begin this morning with supplier acquisition news. Counselor Top 40 supplier Primeline has signed a deal to become the exclusive provider of Built New York products to the ad specialty industry. This expands Prime's gift category even further following its 2010 acquisition of Lehman Designs. Also, Soundline announced that it has acquired the assets of Sound Promotions / private label CDs. International news now. Look for rising prices on goods being imported from China in the coming months, as the Chinese government has allowed its currency to increase in value by more than 3% this year and by 1% in the last week alone. After suppressing the yuan's value for years, China is now hoping to stem inflation by raising the value of its currency. Supplier Financial News Now, American Apparel said its sales rebounded in the second quarter after the company's revenues decreased by 16% during the same period last year. Watch and gift provider Fossil also said that its sales increased by a whopping 35% in the second quarter. Some good news there for the gift category. And finally, make sure to check out the latest episode of the Joe
the
Show.
Latest. Not the last.
It's not the last in Promogram today. Joe, what is hot for that last episode of the Joe Show?
We've got digital disposable cameras. We have a shirt made out of corn. We have lollipops. All on today's Joe Show.
Is that shirt made out of corn comfortable?
It's got a very nice hand, very soft hand.
I asked if it was comfortable. I don't know anything about hand.
Well, hand is the way it feels. Come on, Andy.
so nerdy.
It's made out of 50% polyester, 50% corn rite, which is a process that was perfected by DuPont. And there you have it.
Wow, a little history there from Joe Haley of the Joe Show. All right, check that out in Promogram today. Now we are going to go to your calls. Again, we're taking your calls on how to increase traffic to your website. Give us a ring. Wow, we do have a lot of traffic here in the studio today. Thank you, Craig Veltri. Give us a ring at 215-953-4979. We have some callers on the line. On line two, we have Donna. I wonder if that's my wife, Donna. Is it?
I don't think so.
Oh, I don't think so either. How are you?
Good. I actually get a fair amount of traffic to my site, but is there a way to qualify the visitors so I can separate out the really good prospects?
Colin? Well, you're the marketing guy.
What kind of questions are you asking them on your website? Do you have them fill out a form to request information?
It varies.
Okay, well, I suggest asking a few qualifying questions, maybe size of their business, what their goals are, that type of thing. Just some, you know, two or three short and simple questions to gain more information to help you better prepare for that call.
Okay.
You know, there's a distributor in California, Todd Singleton, and he gets a lot of traffic to his website. And what he does to qualify people is he says, you know, fill out these five questions, and he sends them a prize. He sends them a promotional product. Mm. And he gets a lot of people to participate that way because, you know, who doesn't want a prize?
I think you could also qualify them a little bit by seeing what they click around and look for. So if you have a search function, a product search function, and there's somebody that's looking for 5,000 items of any kind of item, then you might get a clue that that person that's clicking around your website might be a bigger company, might be working for a bigger company than, say, somebody who clicks looking for 100 pens. That's not nearly as big an order, so you can qualify people a little bit by what they're doing around your website. So I would say make sure you're trafficking what people are doing.
Okay.
All right, Donna, we'll hang on the line for your Visa gift card. On line one, we have Katrina. Katrina, how are you today?
Hi, good morning. How are you guys?
Doing great. What's your question for the host?
Well, my website's pretty new. I haven't had it that long. So I'm looking for kind of just general suggestions about how I can generate buzz for it and get people to come to it.
I'd send out an e-newsletter, first of all. Email your client list and let them know that you do have a website up there. And also have things on there that they're going to want to go to the website to see. Not just products. Put blogs out there. Put videos out there. Have something that's going to be interactive and changes all the time. You don't want it to be stagnant and be the same thing on your website, I think, for, you know, a month. Change it up every 2 weeks. That's this humble editor's opinion, but we'll go to the marketing guru.
Well, absolutely. Engaging content always draws people. And as long as you update that engaging content consistently, those customers will keep coming back. I also suggest putting your website on any and every piece of material that you put out.
Okay.
So business cards,
business
letterheads.
Cards, letterheads, brochures,
self-promos.
Exactly.
Yeah, and Katrina, get yourself in the social networks as much as possible. Put updated content on your website, and then in the social networks, lead people to that updated content that's there. So, you know, you're, like Joe said and Colin said, you're constantly refreshing that content with blogs or videos, but you're going to other places to promote that. You know, you want to do that through newsletters, like Joe said, and through Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn. You know, get your whole community, your whole social network flowing towards your website, and that'll increase your traffic for sure.
I would also use, obviously, add specialties with the website,
yep,
imprinted on them.
Idea.
Pens, you know, stress balls in the shape of, you know, something technological. God only knows what that would be.
Wow.
But give out stuff with the website on it, actual add specialties.
A mouse, maybe?
A mouse. There you go.
Mouse pads.
All right. Yeah. We're coming together here. All right, Katrina. Okay. Hopefully that gives you some ideas. Hang on the line for your Visa gift card. We also had a question that was emailed to us, and that question comes from Melanie Avigliano-Schultz, and the question is, how do you compete with big-name competitors on the Internet if you're fairly new in the business? So, you know, there's a lot of big companies out there that are selling promotional products on the Internet, so how do you compete with the big boys when you're a new business? Colin, what do you think?
Well, I think as long as you're on the Internet, it doesn't matter how large your competitor or the so-called big boys are. As long as you're creative and put out something people want and need, I don't think you'll have any trouble competing with the big boys.
That is true, right? It's like the ultimate, you know, level playing field.
Yeah, no one knows how big you are. But the other thing is, though, do you want to, as you're new to the business, start to compete with the big guys who've been doing this for years, who have the facilities to warehouse and do fulfillment and stuff? Or should you start small and, you know, find out how it all works? I mean, if you have a, you know, cola, you don't want to go and automatically compete with Coke. You might want to say, let's enter the marketplace here and see where we, you know, where we are, how we're positioned, and then see what we can do.
That's a good point, Joe, and I don't think you're actually going out there with the goal of competing with those big companies, but I think you're going out with the goal of improving your own business, and you'll end up competing with them in the long run.
There you go.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I don't think you can compete with the biggest of big online sellers. Number one, they're buying at huge volumes, so the prices that they're getting are going to be less, and the prices they could offer to their customers are going to be less than you can really provide. So, like Colin said, you're building your own business. get your own community, like we said to the previous caller, and drive that traffic to your website, and try to qualify them as much as possible, and create your brand that way. But I wouldn't worry too much about competing with the biggest of big competitors.
I agree. I mean, I would set goals, and they might be a little lofty, but also be realistic. What can you achieve?
Absolutely. All right, we have a caller on line 3, Sharon, who has a question about QR codes, I believe. Sharon, how are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing great. What's your question?
Well, I know that you can get a QR code that when people scan it, it would take them to your website. But is there a way to track that traffic so that you know who has accessed your website by using that QR code?
Colin, you're shaking your head.
Yes, there is. You can do it a couple ways. You can actually pay for a service to track the QR code, or you can set up a URL redirect so that the QR code goes to a certain address, which then redirects to your website. So you track the traffic to that redirect address, and you'll know how effective that QR code is.
So the whole point would be, Sharon, that the only traffic that can go to that address would be from that QR code. So if you had your website slash whatever you want to come up with slash QR, then you'll know that the whole traffic came from the QR code because you haven't put that address out to anybody else. So that's probably the easiest way to do it, I would say.
Correct.
All right, Sharon, we'll hang on the line for your Visa gift card so Vinny can get your information. On line 1, we have another caller, Bob. Bob, how are you today?
Terrific. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. What's your question?
Well, I was going to ask you about the frequency of sending out emails and newsletters to your client list. I don't know if you already covered that or not.
No, we haven't necessarily. Joe, what do you think about that?
I would think at least monthly. At least monthly. If that's too much to handle it, at first, try it quarterly, then build up to monthly. And, always have new content in there. Put a case history in there. Put videos in there. Have a blog in there. Just something that once they get used to receiving this and there's something in there that they're, really want to receive, whether it's a video or new products, they're going to start to expect it. If it's the first Monday, the second Tuesday of the month, whatever it is. But I would be consistent in how you deliver it. And don't do it sporadically. Have a schedule. Put a schedule down so you can set aside that time in order to put the newsletter together.
And to go along with that, I mean, you should also keep track of your unsubscribe rate. If your unsubscribe rate starts jumping, maybe you're sending email a little bit too much. Maybe you're contacting them a little bit too much, so you want to tailor that back a little bit. So pay attention to that rate. That's very important.
But I would say, like Joe touched on, if you're going to do it monthly, then make sure your operation is totally committed to it. You don't want to miss one because that's your chance to touch your customer list as frequently as possible. So commit to that time frame. If you want to start quarterly, then you do that. But if you're going to do monthly or even weekly, then just make sure you're committing to that.
Yeah, and then I would develop some type of template so that each newsletter is going to include these components. And then after a while, you're going to figure out how long it's going to take you to write that blog, to shoot and produce that little video, whatever it is you're going to put together, the case history. You'll get a feel, and you'll realize it takes me 2 hours to do this. So then each month you can set aside that time, put in your Outlook calendar with the reminder that this has to be done by this time tomorrow so we can send it out.
Absolutely. All right, Bob. Well, hopefully that helps. Hang on the line for your Visa gift card, and thanks for the call.
Thank you.
All right, on line 2, we have Joe with another question.
Yeah, great
Joe,
meeting.
How are you today?
Oh, pretty good. How are y'all doing?
We're doing great. What's your question for the host this morning?
Well, the first thing is ASI is very familiar with the suppliers and distributors out there. But one question I was in competing with the website, because I do utilize that, but a lot of customers aren't that familiar with ASI. Like if you're going for an accounting firm, you look for a CPA, and some of them may not even know what CPA stands for, but they actually know the association with accounting and taxes or things like that. With my site, I've done that, but what way to get more awareness about ASI, especially with the certification program, to kind of try to distinguish among, other distributors and other companies out there that may not be ASI, that may be selling products out there.
Well, I think that I think you have to worry less about distinguishing what ASI is and more about distinguishing your own business from competitors. So, no, you're right. Clients aren't going to necessarily know ASI, but if you can promote yourself, if you're going through the certification program, and if you can promote yourself as maybe more educated or knowledgeable about the industry, or you have more history in the industry than some competitors, then maybe that's an angle you can brand yourself on. But I think it's more about you and what you can offer to your clients, Joe.
Yeah, I think that on your website, too, you need a link that's going to be either about us or, you know, something that has the staff members on there with a picture and a little bio. And if you're saying that you are BASI or MASI certified, you need to spell that out in
right.
your little
explain
bio and explain what it is to tell them that, you know, you go through continuing education in your profession that makes you a little more in tune to what's important or how certain programs and promotions will work for them, how that education helps them as a client.
Yeah, I mean, ASI does a lot to promote the industry overall and what distributors and suppliers do and, you know, the value of promotional products to the economy overall. We do a lot to promote that. We don't do a lot to promote the company itself to your clients. It's more about you and your own branding efforts. So I would certainly focus on that. All right, Joe, thanks very much for the call and hang on the line. We have another call before we head to a break from Ken on line one. Ken, how are you today?
Fine, thank you. I'm very interested in moving forward on an active website. The thing is, there just seems to be so many hours in the day. And as you go through the show here, there are not only creating the website, but updating the content, measuring and tracking response. Is there a source that might combine several of these services? And also, I'm concerned about what you need to allot for an effective budget to put a package together that's going to work. I don't want to overspend, but I don't want to nickel dime and get zero results. What are your thoughts on that?
So how much time and resources to allot to website creation and maintenance? Is that the gist?
Yeah, and are there resources that can that we can outsource?
Colin? We're sent to the marketing.
There are a lot of resources that you can outsource. It depends on what you're looking to do and what you're looking to spend. As far as analytics and how much traffic you're getting, that type of thing, you can use Google Analytics and get a good idea of what kind of traffic you're receiving and to which web pages on your site are receiving the most traffic. As far as content-wise, all depends on what type of content you're looking to go after. There are several marketing sites out there that I use that help me provide content to people that are looking for me. In fact, some segments later on, I'm going to be discussing some of those topics that I use. And you can repurpose that content as long as you're giving credit to the source. You can repurpose that content on your site.
I think, Ken, that you need to be a little careful, though, with outsourcing. I agree with Colin. There are plenty of services that you can hire to set up your website, to gauge the traffic on your website. But when it comes to the main aspect of your website, which is the content and the branding, you're going to want to do that yourself. You know, you want to create the messaging and know that you're connecting with your customers yourself. So I would say that you want to do that. As far as resources are concerned, you know, we can't really put a percent of revenues that you want to put on it. But I would say if you're going to build a website and try to increase your traffic through the internet, then you definitely want to take a good percentage of your marketing dollars and put it towards that. I wouldn't get away from all the other things you might do, but the internet is a valuable place to reach people. You can do it in a very efficient manner that you can't reach people in other ways.
Go ahead, Michelle. The idea of paying someone like a student or something who goes to school for design to maintain mm-hmm. the website daily, you know, maybe two or three hours a day. And that's what they do.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Ken, well, hang on the line. Thanks for the call, and Vinny will get your information for your Visa gift card. All right, right now we need to take a break to hear from our show sponsor, I Promote You. But when we get back, we'll talk about some key mobile marketing trends.
This portion of ASI Radio is sponsored by iPromoteU. Distributors and salespeople, consider affiliating with iPromoteU today. Be more productive, be more profitable, be happier, and retain your independence. iPromoteU, the smart choice. For more information, call 800-857-3370 or visit www.ipromoteu.com.
All right, welcome back to the Tuesday Morning Show, where we've been taking your calls, a lot of calls, regarding how to increase traffic to your website. If you have a question on that or any other topic, you can give us a call for the rest of the show at 215-953-4979. Colin, right now we're going to go to you with some key mobile marketing trends. What's going on in the mobile marketing area?
Thank you, Andy. Mobile marketing is something that is very interesting to me. It's a booming market. A lot of these, I'm going to throw out some stats, and a lot of these are from one of my favorite sources, HubSpot. Did you know the mobile advertising this year will expand to a $1 billion business?
Wow.
Not.
I did not.
We did not. You've stumped
exactly.
The show host here.
And smartphones are beginning to dominate the mobile world. From 2009 to 2010, users increased by 50%. Up to 60.2 million.
You know, it is amazing. I was actually walking this is going to sound terrible. I was walking the streets of New York over the weekend.
Peddling your wares,
yes,
are you?
I was indeed peddling my wares.
Weekend job.
And it's just the weekend, but you notice every single person crossing every street looking down at their hand. It's just amazing. I'm like Michelle right now, tweeting away like a maniac.
If you look at this room alone, every person in this room has a smartphone.
Yeah, it really is pervasive. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Colin. Sorry.
Well, by the end of this year, that number is projected to be 73.3 million. Or 23% of all phones. And by the end of 2015, that number is projected to be 43% of the entire market.
So, Colin, let me ask you, do you think that distributors and suppliers, for that matter, can capitalize, can create apps or the QR codes we were talking about, can start to put some mobile applications into their marketing plans?
Absolutely, absolutely. And you have... It's now more crucial than ever to optimize your website for mobile access. And that could be creating a mobile version of your website or optimizing your current website for speed, image rendering, and accessibility.
It is frustrating when you're on a smartphone and you get to a website that you just can't really read because it's not set for mobile.
Exactly. Reading, and some people are also – there's also the debate – app versus mobile website, and that all really depends on what your goals are and what you're trying to do. Mobile websites are more effective at reaching a larger audience, whereas apps are better at connectivity, engagement, and performance. So I suggest doing both.
Gotcha.
They're very inexpensive and easy to do.
All right, sounds good. All right, Joe, marketing's highest spenders.
The highest spenders.
Tell us a little bit about who they are.
Andy, I would love to. This is from Ibis World, I-B-I-S, Ibis World,
sure.
Michelle?
However you pronounce it.
She loves my
apothecary.
Pronunciation.
Okay. Apothecary.
All right, this is interesting. They say the more competitive an industry is, the more likely firms in that industry will benefit from marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if you're big like Coke, you benefit from the marketing. Okay. They also say, you know, you look at industries like automobiles, pharmaceutical, and snack products, you know, right away, these big, big mega companies. But they, as a percentage of their marketing revenues, don't spend as much as marketing on these top 10. I'm going to give you the top three. All right. I'm going to give you the top three, and we're going to talk about them. Number one, any guesses?
Briefly.
Okay, I'll be brief. The software publishing industry is the number one.
Yeah,
they spend 20% of their revenue is spent on marketing. And they give this example. Microsoft increased marketing push for the Xbox 360 platform, Windows Phone, and other products over the past year. And the marketing was successful because the company attracted enough clients to boost sales beyond what was spent on the marketing.
I'll buy that. You can't get away from it because of what Colin was just talking about.
Right.
Nerds are big business.
Yeah, mobile marketing is huge.
Number two. Tourism, 19.6% of their revenue is spent on marketing. They say that with more and more people becoming seniors now, seniors constitute an increasing portion of American tourists. And as a travel rebound, Expedia actually increased its value proposition by decreasing fares and increasing loyalty programs. So now when people are deciding to take vacations and start to make their plans, one of the things they're going to do is go to Expedia before they go to other things. Where traditionally people would go right away to their travel agent, They're cutting them out now. Okay.
All right, one more.
Number three, it's movies. 19% of their revenue is movies. And the feeling here, and we were just out in Costa Mesa with a distributor that does a lot with movies. And
yeah.
You'd be amazed at some of these promotions that you don't, you know, ever see or think about, but they're putting into these movie productions.
They tie in promotional products to everything they do.
Absolutely. If they think it's going to be a blockbuster movie, they are going to spend a larger amount on marketing. So those are the top three. We're going to post this on our website, asicentral.com/radioshow. You can see all 10 of them.
All right, check that out online. Right now we have another caller on line one. We have Stanley. Stanley, how are you today?
Hey, very good. How are you doing?
Doing great. What's your question?
Well, my question is, how often do you need to change the look and feel of your website? Is it because I'm always told that if you don't keep changing your website, that people will stop coming, but is there a rule? Is there any feedback you can give me on that?
I would say you don't want to actually change the look and feel of it too frequently at all. That's kind of like touching your branding, and you don't want to mess with that too much or too frequently, I would say. You do want to change the content for sure. You want to update what you're saying as far as content, either blogs or videos or featured products or things like that, or specials. You know, if you're updating things like that, you want to do that as regularly as possible. But as far as overall look and feel, that's messing with your branding, you know, your logo. I wouldn't mess with that too frequently.
I completely agree with you, Andy, and especially when you mess with the layout of your site sometimes.
Right.
The users that are very familiar with your site, your loyal customers that go there often, and then all of a sudden go there one day and can't find what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So if you are making changes, you might want to take them on more gradually than all together at once.
Yeah, but the content, I would say, if you shoot for daily, that's a good way to go.
My question is, though, when you're going to redo your website, should you notify your clients and say, you know, coming in a month, we're going to have a completely new look?
Absolutely.
We're going to add these features. We're going to get rid of these features that are kind of, you know,
Craig and Vinny, who design ASI Central, are nodding their heads yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you want to highlight those the new areas and the areas that may already be there, but you may have revamped.
Okay. You know, because sometimes when you go to a website, it's like, man, this thing is so old looking. You know, the design is not fresh anymore. So I think that there is a need to, you know, update it. I don't know how frequently, though.
All right, Stanley, well, hopefully that helps, gives you some ideas. Hang on the line so we can get your information for your Visa gift card. All right now I'm going to Joe because I have to find out about Bernie Madoff's pants. So, Joe, what is up with our favorite jailbird's pants?
All right, so this dude and his name, he's a tech entrepreneur. His name is John Vaccaro, and he decided he was going to go to one of these auctions and buy up 16 pairs of his pants and sweaters, Bernie Madoff's, okay? And then he's taking them and creating iPod covers for them.
Nice.
They're selling. This is crazy. They're selling for $250 to $500 for your iPod to have this cover made of something that Bernie Madoff used to wear. It's crazy. He sold out his first run of this just by word of mouth. And he says the one problem is that people have to realize that it's not for protection. So that if you drop it, it's going to, you know, your little screen there is going to crack.
But you too can have Bernie
Madoff's pants covering your iPod. Now he's thinking about going and finding some other celebrity type auctions where he can buy clothing to fashion that also into these iPad cases. So, you know, he's being very entrepreneurial about it, and actually he's making some money. So
look at that. There are entrepreneurial ideas everywhere.
But he said Madoff's worth, because there's that, you know, he's kind of like a villain. Well, not kind of. He is, you know, and people want that for that reason. So it might not work with, you know, your everyday run-of-the-mill, you know, celebrities like Andy Cohen. But, you know, if you get someone like El Diablo, you know.
That's our Colin.
All right. We have just enough time for Michelle's favorite segment of our show. It's our favorite thing. So, Michelle, why don't you lead us off?
Well, mine is from Hit Promotional Products, ASI 61125, and it is an erasable highlighter. And I use highlighters all the time, but sometimes I highlight the wrong thing. So I love the fact that this is erasable and you can correct yourself and you get a do-over, and I love do-overs. Well,
and that's why I never bought used textbooks, because how do you know the guy that had the textbook before you knew what he was highlighting.
Yeah,
it was distracting.
Most likely, he didn't.
Right.
So you can find
that guy got a D in the class. I don't want his book. Sorry.
You can find our products on asicentral.com/radio.
Yes, you'll see them pictured there right now. Joe, you're up with that crazy looking thing.
All right, if you got sports clients, anyone, high school, local clubs, this is a great product. It has a little belt clip here, and it is a retractable whiteboard, dry erase board. It comes with its own marker up here in a little hole for it, and you push the button and you pull it out.
Okay, don't
you tell
that
the
again.
Kids what they need to do. It comes
like taking a bullet.
Comes in a bunch of different sports fields, so basketball, volleyball, football, and stuff. Great product for your clients to connect with these leagues if they're not already connected. Also, if you work with local leagues and teams and stuff, you can actually show this to them, and they could buy it for all their coaches.
Who's it from?
It is from Zipboards, and I don't have the ASI number, but that is on our website, www.asicentral.com/radio.
All right, Colin, you're next.
Thank you, Andy. My favorite product was a leather-bound notebook from Rustico, ASI 84264. It is made in America. It is made from recycled post-consumer waste, and it is one of my favorite possessions right now.
Very good. Wow.
I love
one
those
of his favorite
products.
Possessions. And you can also see that.
They're nice.
And all of our favorite products online at asicentral.com/radio. Mine is is something that you could use in your car because I spend a lot of time in my car. It's a pen caddy. It comes with a clip, and it goes to a vehicle's air vent right on the dashboard. So if traveling salespeople are spending a lot of time in their cars, this is a perfect item for them. It comes from Primeline. It's ASI 79530. And like all of our products, you can see that at asicentral.com/radio. Unfortunately, we are out of time for today. We'll see you again next week when, unfortunately, I will be on vacation, as will Michelle, but Joe will be manning the ship. Good luck, Joe.
Thank you.
Oh, my God.